We're going to continue our study in the book of Acts this morning. I believe this is the eighth study here. We're going to be in chapter 6 and chapter 7 of the book of Acts. The title to the message this morning would be Standing Tall. You know, there's times in our lives and opportunities arise in circumstances in our lives that we can, through the strength that God gives us, that we can continue just to stand tall even in difficult circumstances. But there's also what we're going to look at this morning is there's five principles that also come along with being taking a stand for Jesus or standing tall. There's also five principles that goes along with this. Before we get into the Word, let's go to the Lord in prayer. I've got one prayer request. I'd like to bring up. Individual called me last night about her granddaughter, and I'd like to go to the Lord in prayer. Any other prayer requests before we go? June, pray for her. Carolyn Reeves. Has anybody heard from her in the last day or two? It's been yesterday. Clinton. Audie's son Clinton is in the hospital, correct? Got cancer, so who? McIntyre. Scott? Okay. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just we come before you today, Lord, and we just thank you and give you praise, Lord, for just being a God that never changes, Lord, and a God that cares and listens, Lord, and Father, that loves us unconditionally, Lord. And I just pray that each one of us here this morning would just grasp the reality of your love that you bestowed upon us, Lord, and that we would we bring all those requests to you, Lord, this morning. That Father, that you know each need, Lord. We pray for the physical needs, the emotional needs, Lord. Most of all, for the spiritual needs of each and every heart and life, Lord, and for that. Father, we are a needy people, and we are each one of us, Lord, has our own problems and our own needs, Lord. And Father, I just pray that as a body of Christ, Lord, that we would lift each other up and continually in prayer, Lord, and not only in prayer, but lift each other up in love, Lord, and as a body of Christ, Lord, would be a functioning body, Lord, that would do what you would have us to do, Lord, and may the community and the surrounding areas, Lord, be able to see the love of Jesus through each one of us, Lord, and that they wouldn't have to, wouldn't be about religion or about church, but it would be about you, Lord. And Father, may you have all the glory and all the praise in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to look at this scripture this morning, and we're going to look at a man that in his final days, his final moments here on this earth, and his life, how he lived his life, and the things that he said, and actually how he died. And I hope the scripture will be an encouragement to you and also a challenge to how you live your life. And if it came to that final moment in your life, that very last few moments of your life, Could you live your life the way this man did? Could you say the things that he said? Could you have the faithfulness that he had? Last week we looked at it. There was problems in the church, and those problems were addressed. And they chose seven men, and Stephen was one of the seven. And they picked seven men that were full of the Spirit, that were full of wisdom, and Stephen was one of these. He was a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to pick this up in chapter 6, verses 8 through 11. First one that we're going to look at in reference to standing tall that goes with that. And standing tall, sometimes you have to stand alone. And that's what Stephen was doing here. And verse 8, "And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people." Verse 9, "Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, they rose up and they disputed with Stephen." Verse 10, "But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking." And verse 11, "Then they secretly instigated men who said, 'We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God.'" Now Stephen here is standing alone. The scripture tells us that he's a man full of faith and power, and that he was also doing great wonders and signs among the people. So the second thing that, when it talks about standing tall, that's going to happen here. Sometimes you have to stand against error, against falsehood, and that's what Stephen is doing. Let's pick it up again in verse 12. "And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him, and they brought him before the council. And they set up false witness who said, 'This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us.' And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel." Let's read one more verse, chapter 7, verse 1. "And the high priest said, 'Are these things so?'" First of all, I want to point out, if you'll read and study the stonings that took place during these biblical times, most of the time there was a place that they would take them to, and they would throw them off like this wall, and it would be like, it would be twice to the man's height, and depending on whether it's a man like as short as I am or someone else, you know. But this, you know, so it'd be at least, say, 16 or so feet high, and they would throw them off there, and there would always be two witnesses, and one of them would always throw the first rock on the individual, and if that did not kill them, then the rest of the people would gather up stones and start throwing at them. So this is what he's facing here. When you read this in about Stephen here, or the scripture tells us that he's a man full of faith and power. But I want you to think about this for a moment. It's lots of times it might be easy for us to have faith when everything is going good. But how about having that faith when you're going through a difficult time? when you're down there in that valley, and believe me, when you were fixing to be stoned, that you would feel like you were in a valley. And just think about the concept of that for a moment, of laying there and having someone to physically put you to death by stoning you. And usually the studies I've done on this, the very first stone that was thrown was usually a very big stone. And if that didn't kill them, well then, like I said earlier, everybody would take up a stone and start throwing them. And we're going to look at some things that he said and did here in just a little bit. When you read this scripture here, Stephen, he kind of comes down on them. He hits them at a point that they're really touchy on. He talks about the land and the law and the temple. Now he asks a question here in the start of chapter 7 or verse 1. The high priest asks him a question. He says, "Are these things so?" And Stephen said, now let's look what he says in verses 2 and 3. "Brothers and fathers, hear me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran and said to him, 'Go out from your land and from your kindred and go into the land that I will show you.'" Now let's take it up in verse 9 and 10. "And the patriarchs, jealous of Joseph, sold him to Egypt, but God was with him, and he rescued him out of all of his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who made him ruler over Egypt and over all his household." So he's talking about Abraham, and now he goes to Joseph, and now he's going to go to Moses. Let's go to verse 29. "And at this report, Moses fled and became an exile in the land of Midian, where he became the father of two sons." Verse 30, "Now when 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he was amazed at the sight. And as he drew near to look, there came the voice of the Lord, 'I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob.' And Moses trembled and did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, 'Take off the sandals from your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy ground.'" Now, he points out three different people here: Abraham, Joseph, and Moses. And the reason he's doing that, he's showing them that God is not limited to one location. God is not just limited to Israel, and he is a God of the entire world. And there was so much religion wrapped up into this, and it really upset them. When you think about this, I'm going to call it a church. It was, you know, it was the Sadducees and the Pharisees that made up the Sanhedrin. We talked about that last Sunday. It was a religious organization, and they were so wrapped up in the land and the law and in things of the temple that they could not see the spirit of the Holy Spirit living inside this man. They couldn't even see that. And there's lots of times in our lives today that I think we get wrapped up in the same things. Let's read on just a little bit further. Let's go to verses 48 and 50. And he talks about the temple. Yet the Most High does not dwell in houses made by hands, as the prophet says, 'Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Did not my hand make all these things?'" So he talks about the land that God is not just in Israel, and now he's talking about the temple. he realized that Christ was the real temple. And if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your body has now become that temple. And the Holy Spirit is living inside of that temple. One thing it should remind us of, that just because people here, this religious sect, just because they had a temple that was in the midst of them there, it didn't guarantee that they were faithful to God. And that's the same thing today. Just because we are Christians does not mean that we're going to be faithful to Him. I think lots of times we become overconfident and we even become somewhat smug in our relationship with God. We get to thinking that just because we go to church or just because we've done this or just because we've been baptized, we come up with the same attitude as these people here did. They had an attitude about the temple, about the law itself, and even about the land. When you stop and think about it in relation to their attitude today, it's kind of our relation that we get to thinking about putting God in a box. How many of us do that today? We put God in a box. We set a time frame that we're going to serve God in a week's time. We're going to come to church on Sunday morning. We're going to go to Sunday school class. And we may even attend Wednesday night or Sunday night. And that's all the time we have for God. You know, and if we do that, we're no different than these religious people of this day, where they were putting God in a box. And it's the same thing. So don't sit there and get to thinking that we are any better than they are, because we're not. We are doing the same thing today in today's time and today's culture in our society today. We are putting God in a box, and that's what they were doing there. The temple, the law, and the land was very important to them. And what are some things that are important for you today when it comes to religious things? Is the God that you serve, or do you just have Him in limited areas of your life? Is He just part of your life? The third thing about standing tall is you got to tell the truth even when it's unpopular. You have to speak the truth even when it's unpopular. Verse 51, look what he says to them. He says, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised and hardened ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did. So do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it." See, Stephen here, he makes it very personal. If when you read these passages of Scripture, he goes from talking past tense to present tense. He started out using the word "they," and then he switches to the word "to them." He uses the words "you" in those passages of Scripture there in 51 through 53. There's 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 5 times that he uses the word "you." So he makes it very, very personal. In other words, he is telling the truth, and that truth that he's speaking is not a popular message. I mean, it really upsets them. So the fourth thing that happens here in standing tall, that there's going to be suffering that takes place. Verse 54, "And now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven, and he saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice, and they stopped their ears and rushed together at him." Now, it just said earlier that they those that sat at council, when they looked at him, he looked like the face of an angel. And yet they cannot see the Spirit of God at work in this man's life. And they become so enraged about the message that he has given to them. And you stop and think about it. Was it last week or the week before we talked about when you hear the salvation message, that's one of the things that's going to happen. You're either going to become convicted or you're going to become enraged by it. It's going to make you mad. There's one of the two things that are going to happen in your life. It says that they were cut to the heart. When you look that up in the Greek, it means to be cut in two. They became so furious and that they hated him, that it actually says they were cut in two. It hurt them so bad, and they were so upset with him that they even ground their teeth at him, and they could not even see that he was full of the Spirit of God. Standing tall, and I believe this is the important one, that it always leaves an impression. Standing tall, you're going to always have to stand alone. Standing tall, you're going to have to always go up against things that are false. Standing tall means you're always going to have to speak the truth, and in speaking the truth, you're going to be the unpopular one. Standing tall means that you're going to have to suffer. There's going to be persecution that comes along, but the most important one is that there's going to be an impression. You're going to make an impression when you stand for truth, when you stand for righteousness. There is going to be somebody out there that is watching you. They're watching your life. They're watching the way you live, that you're going to make a lasting impression on them. Let's read starting with verse 58 again. So then they cast him out of the city and they stoned him. And the witnesses, remember we talked about that a little earlier, there was always two witnesses. They laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named what? Saul. Who was this Saul? This was an individual that would later become Paul. He was the one that where we get most of our New Testament from. As they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold these sins against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. You know, who's that? Who does that remind you of when you read that? Doesn't that remind you of what the Lord Jesus said on the cross? You stop and think about this. This Paul or Saul was one of the witnesses there. He's standing there. He's watching this man. They're stoning him. They're throwing rocks. They're hitting him in the head with rocks. This man is he knows he's facing death. And what does he say? Do not hold it against them. Father, forgive them, for they know what they do. That's what Jesus said. And he said, falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Can you imagine the impression that left on this young man? Knowing and seeing what they had put Stephen through, that he knew what was going to happen to him. He knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to be there to take his hand. We sung a song earlier. It said, "When your life, you're my life. When life is gone, when you're on your deathbed, can you say that you know without a shadow of a doubt where you're going to spend eternity?" See that. That's what Stephen, he knew. He could see the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what it said there. He said, and as they were stoning him, he called out. If you'll back up, where was that at? Verse 6. Yeah. What? Which one? 56. Yep, that's it. Thank you. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." You know, he got a glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He got a glimpse of heaven. And don't you think after that happened, after that stoning take place, and he seen him die the death that he died, and the mercy and the compassion that he showed those people, said, "Do not hold them against him." Don't you know that made a lasting impression on Saul? And I believe when he had that experience on the Damascus Road, when his conversion took place, I believe that was the start of it. And I believe that was always on his mind. That made a lasting impression on him. Because when you see somebody that is suffering persecution, and this goes right along with our Sunday school class, when you see somebody experiencing things in their life and they still have that joy, that unspeakable joy that is in their life, they have that peace that passes all understanding, that makes an impression on people. And the only way that you can possibly have that is when you have the Spirit of God in your life, when you have that Holy Spirit, and when you get a glimpse of heaven. Because that's what happens when you've been truly born again. You get a glimpse of heaven. You get that peace that passes all understanding, that you cannot explain it to somebody, no matter how bad you try and how bad you want to. You cannot explain it. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes inside of you, he gives you a little bit of glimpse of that. And that's the same thing that happened to this man here. And I believe Saul at that time, he started thinking, he goes, "Man, I'd like to have what that man has." That's where the multiplication starts taking place that we've been talking about. Because people want that. People want that. They don't want some religious experience. They don't want to come here and sit here at church and be involved in your little functions and your little social programs. They want something that is real. And that's what Stephen had. He had the Holy Spirit living inside of him. And that's what changes lives. And that's what gives you a glimpse of heaven. Because if you don't have that, you're just like these religious people. That's all you've got. And then when you hear the gospel, all it's going to do is enrage you and make you mad. And you're going to leave here with a bad attitude, because there's two things that's going to take place, either conviction or anger. You know, and I challenge you this morning to, first of all, not to leave here angry, because there's no need of it. Allow the Holy Spirit to convict you of the wrong in your lives, of the sins that you have committed, and let that conviction take place, and let the Spirit of God work in your life. Repent, acknowledge that you're a sinner. Acknowledge your need for a Savior. And experience that peace that passeth all understanding. Experience that glimpse of heaven that you can have right here in this world that we're living in today. You can get a little glimpse of heaven in your life. And believe me, the world that we're living in today, we all need that. We all need that in our life. And I challenge you to leave a lasting impression on somebody's life. You know, if I leave this world today, you know what I want people to say about me? I don't want them to say that, "Oh, he was a good man." I want them to be able to say that he loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Because that's what will make a lasting impression. That's what will make an impression on people through eternity. Because each one of us here this morning, we were all made the same way. We were all made eternal beings. And either you're going to spend an eternity in hell or an eternity with Jesus Christ. Make an impression on somebody this morning, today, next week in your life. When you go on your job, make an impression. Let people see Jesus Christ living in you and through you and around you. And if you don't have that peace, I challenge you this morning to let the Spirit of God speak to you, convict you, and bring you into His eternal presence through what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. Amen. Susan, would you come, please? I want to give you an opportunity right here. Well, let the truth of God's Word speak in your heart right now. Speak in your life. I'm going to give you the opportunity right now to make a decision where you're going to spend eternity. You've heard the gospel. You've heard that Jesus Christ died for you. You've heard that you're a sinner. You've heard that you can have that peace that passes all understanding. You've heard that you can have the Spirit of God living in your life, and that even on your deathbed that you can look up and say without a doubt that you know where you're going to spend eternity. It's either going to convict or it's going to make you angry. You're either going to leave here this morning feeling convicted and about half upset and turmoil in your life, or you're going to leave here with a peace in your heart that you've never felt before. And I'm here to tell you, there's nothing greater. There's not a better high in this world than have the peace of God in your heart and in your life. Knowing where you're going to spend eternity. And see, it's not only that, but it's also experiencing the love of God in your life. Because when you submit to that conviction in your heart, in your life, when the Spirit of God starts speaking to you, and you give yourself to Him, then you experience that love of God like you've never had before. And see, that's the bonus package, because it's not just about eternity, but it's about feeling and living and experiencing that love of God right here on this earth. Amen.